It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning. You know what that means. Time for another wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Danny. How are you on this kind of moist Saturday morning?
Yes, well, I'm staying dry. Fortunately, it's kind of a cool, but actually, this is kind of typical. The weather folks say this is kind of normal or average for this time of year. But we still have a little light rain, at least in the Metro Twin Cities, about 47 degrees. And what can we talk about this wet morning?
Well, one thing I'd say is normal. That's not one word that hasn't been used for our weather. But I guess April showers do bring May flowers, that's for sure. So
yes.
I guess maybe that is the normality of it. Actually, Dave, I think what we're going to talk about is a little bit of carry on from what we talked about last week, because last week we talked about party planning and some of those formulas. And in the stores, we got a lot of great feedback and a lot of people asking the question. So we kind of thought we'd maybe reiterate it again and talk about, you know, when you're sitting down and doing all that type of stuff, the things to look for, the pitfalls to watch out for. And, you know, the whole idea of even when it's a wedding, and, you know, you have folks that are on eggshells because it's their big day and it's the day they've been worried about and dreaming about for year upon year upon year. It's really, you know, the one simple formula to follow is the old KISS formula. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, people overthink these things so many times and so often that they really get discombobulated. And again, you know, we just sit and kind of work on those simple principles of planning a party, because that will make it so easy. And so a couple things that we'll quickly review is, you know, sitting down, and, you know, we call it your format or what type of party that you're going to have. And again, maybe it's a graduation party, or it's a proper dinner party, or a wedding for that matter. So right there, that kind of points you in the right direction as far as what to do and what to serve. So when you deal with that format, like a graduation party, you know, the one caveat to think about on doing that is you probably need a lot of coolers, because they're always kind of a self-service thing. You know, people usually don't do anything too terribly formal. But again, keep it simple, where if you're doing those wine selections or beer selections, only have two or three items to choose from, rather than, oh, you know, Uncle Rusty loves Surly beer and Billy Joe down the street loves this crazy IPA, and then Uncle Steve needs some this, that, and the other. Keep it simple, because, again, people rarely, rarely ever refuse free alcohol. So make it simple. Make it what you want. So only do maybe a heavier beer and a light beer. You know, there's so many options to choose from, but you really have to kind of narrow it down. And same really goes with the wines that you would serve at a graduation party. You know, just do something light, maybe just a red and a white, possibly, you know, if it's a little warmer out, throw in a simple rosé in there to keep it simple as possible. Then when you get into planning weddings, you know, then the format becomes a bigger and a little bit more dynamic, because during a wedding, you have to factor out a few things. You know, how long are you going to have, let's say, the cocktail hour reception before everybody sits down? Then when people sit down, do you want a glass of champagne sitting there on everybody's table to do a champagne toast? Because that will factor in how much champagne you need. Because if you're not doing a champagne toast, but you want some around, you maybe only need a case. But if you're doing a champagne toast, you're going to need a glass for all the people there. So that can really, really influence things. And some of the other things to think about, again, when you're doing a wedding like that, is do you want to put a bottle on every table? People can self-serve. Do they want people to roll around? And then also after the dinner, how long it's going to be. So those are format questions to really think about. And then the next step to think about, again, is the menu. What are you serving? You know, if you're, you know, obviously at a graduation party, it's going to be something on the simple side, you know, very popular pulled pork type of things. So you maybe want those wines to go with the pulled pork, depending on how spicy. But some people get as exotic as they have pizza trucks come up, and that does all the food for them. So, you know, you want to tailor that wine toward that food, whether it is a pizza, maybe you want to serve Chianti all day long. There's other food trucks that do all kinds of amazing things. You know, there's burrito trucks, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, so with that, maybe you do some Spanish wines, lovely Criantas, and they're so inexpensive and affordable that that would go well with that. But then, you know, same with the wedding menu, you know, you don't want to serve a huge, big, giant Cabernet if you're going to have just light chicken and things like that. So, again, you have to do that. And then, more importantly, you have to factor in your budget. How much do you want to spend? I mean, I've always joked that people spend so much time worrying about the flowers and then even what the invitations look like, and they spend an arm and a leg and all that. And then when it comes to the alcohol, they kind of scratch their head and go, well, you know, really, we have to spend that much? And I will always contend, and I might be biased on this, Denny, that alcohol usually makes or breaks every great wedding or every great party, because it loosens people up and they have a grand time. So those are the things, and it's, again, keeping it simple. You know, when you're doing those wine selections, especially for weddings or big gatherings, you know, you can just go down that rabbit hole of worried about, you know, Aunt Grace loves white Zinfandel, and somebody else loves this, and somebody else loves that, and all of a sudden you could have 10 or 15 selections of wine, and then when the party's over, you look and you have about 10 or 15 sandbag bottles of wine that have only a glass or two out of them, and you don't know what to do with them. So that way you just kind of keep it simple, only have one selection of wine, like one red, one white, that type of thing, just to make it easy on you, but also to make sure that you have enough. And this is where we brought some of those ideas of the formulas, and this is what people really asked about. So one bottle of wine will get you five glasses. Oh, and that makes it easy. Everybody can do their multiplications by five. Even I can. And so usually a case of wine will get you about 60 pours. So if you're having 100 and some people at your wedding or at your party, you kind of now have a gauge as far as how much you're going to need or how many cases of wine. And generally, you factor in probably about three glasses per person in that situation. But, you know, you as the host probably know the crowd better. If it's a younger crowd, they might get, you know, a little bit more rowdy and have a couple few. If it's an older crowd, you know, that might be on the softer side. Again, serve it when you're talking about other things, a box of wine or, you know, a 3-liter box will get you about 20 pours. So that's another factor to think, and that's also a great way to keep it simple as far as if you're doing a big graduation party, maybe you do want to put out some box wine. We just brought in this brand new box wine. It's terrific. In French, it's literally called a box of wine, Brio de Vin, and we have a Cab, Chard, Pinot Noir, Rosé, and a Sauvignon Blanc, and actually, to pat myself on the back, it is some very, very delicious box wine. My father is probably rolling in his grave right now that I'm preaching the goodness of box wine. But, you know, believe it or not, those little sealed up bags are a terrific way to store wine because very little oxygen gets exposed to it. So you can put some of that wine in your fridge for up to 30 days if you really want to. If it, in my case, it probably wouldn't last that long. But you can have that in there. And the only trick is oftentimes they just kind of put plunk manufactured stuff in there that's not very good. I sourced this out of France, and it's vin de pays technically because they use the Pinot Noir from, I think, partly from Loire, a little bit from Burgundy. The Chardonnay comes from the Languedoc. So, and as the old joke goes, it's Chateau, or what do they call it? It's Card Bordeaux, Denny. Card Bordeaux.
I love it.
And but, you know, there's a stigma to it, but believe it or not, this stuff is just terrific. So it's a brand new box wine that we brought in, very affordable, delicious wines. And I've had some of my astute wine friends taste it and just like, that is not bad. I keep that around now in my fridge. This way I can have a Chardonnay and not open up other things. But that's just something to think about as far as your simplicity into that. But again, you know, when you're doing these wines and keeping it simple, you know, do something that's very, like white wines that are very soft and approachable. You know, about 20 years ago, the biggest craze was Pinot Grigio. Everybody abandoned big, heavy Chardonnays and started drinking Pinot Grigios. And believe it or not, those are great wines to revisit for those types of parties because they're simple, They're easy. They're very approachable. They take a wonderful chill. I have two in particular that are just wonderful. One is it's La Gondola Pinot Grigio, and it comes from the Vento region up in the Northeast, and also Cantina della Torre. Now, Cantina della Torre, I believe, comes from the same co-op that Santa Margherita comes from, so you're getting a little bit of a value on there, because those are both Pinot Grigios are about $8 to $10 cheaper than Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio, but they're wonderful, approachable wines. They have nice flavor to them. They're not over-the-top wines, but again, you're sitting there, you're having wine. People just want to, enjoy one another's company and not get overly sophisticated and talk about the wines. So those Pinot Grigios are great. And then we also have a couple fun Spanish wines. One is called the El Jamón Crianza. Yes, El Jamón, which means the big ham. They have a cute little pig on the label. It's kind of fun. But the Crianza, the Tempranillos, are so easy and approachable. So when you're doing that kind of larger party, you're having a great little red wine on there. It goes well with everything. It doesn't overpower it the way if you brought out a big, heavy, Zinfandel or like a Crow's Hermitage could just dominate anything you're serving. It's too big, same with like a huge Napa Cab. It's just too heavy for that. But those wonderful Spanish wines just fit the bill as far as serving a lot of people. They're very affordable and very approachable. And quite frankly, you'll enjoy them as well as the host.
Yeah, I tell you what, that I'm glad you brought up the Crianza, or as we say in Barcelona, Crianza. That the Tempranillo is that goes with a lot of stuff.
You're right, and it's so universal. And some of it, they can get when it comes from the Rioja region, they can get a little bit bolder as far as they'll age them a lot longer. They age them a minimum of 15 months of new oak. That gives it a big exposure. But Tempranillo is planted all throughout the country of Spain, so you get different derivations of it as far as the oak exposure, or even just call it the fruitiness of it. So they're great wines. Spain for many, many years did not make terrific wine. And some of it was their winemaking technique. And with the exchange of ideas that have gone on in the last 40 years, they adopted some of the techniques that even the Americans had, using stainless steel fermentation tanks, doing a few other tricks of the trade. And now all of a sudden they had the infrastructure, they had the grapes, they had everything going. Now just with a few techniques, they're just blowing the socks off the world of wine with their delicious wines they make.
And before we run out of time, listener wants to know again, what was that El Jamón you were talking about?
Well, El Jamón, and there's three. There's a Crianza, a straight Tempranillo, and a Granacha. And it's just a fun little Spanish wine, little red to serve, and again, you could do that with a little pulled pork. You could do that with ribs, or you could just do that with a little roasted chicken, or just, if the rain clears up, crack one open and have one today.
Yes, that's a great idea. I think I may stop by one of the Haskell's locations. And let's tell the folks, there are many, and Haskell's been around for a long time. Tell us some of the locations, or all of them, if you have time.
I think I'll try to do that, Danny. For 93 years, we've been taking care of Minnesotans and their party needs, whether it's a wedding or a bachelor party, graduation party, whatever it might be. We have Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of any of those needs. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka right across the street from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's in Highland Village right on Ford Parkway. Down in Lowman's Plaza, there's a Haskell's in Bloomington. Right in downtown Excelsior, there's a Haskell's. You can always stop by our pub for a burger. There's a Haskell's in White Bear Lake, Stillwater. We have one right off of 35 in Faribault. If you're headed on north, stop by Haskell's in Plymouth right off of Rockford Road. There's a Haskell's right in Maple Grove, our super cellar, 20,000 square feet of all kinds of goodies to take care of any of your party. And if you can't do any of that, stop by 24/7 Haskell's.com, and we'll even deliver it for you, Danny.
I know you can. Very good. Ted, we'll talk soon, and let's do this again next week.
I look forward to that, Danny.
Thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.